Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, we meditate on the words of the gospel that we read just a moment ago. A rich young man came to Jesus and asked him, "Teacher, what good thing should I do that I may have eternal life?" And Jesus interestingly didn't say, "Believe in me," but he said, "Fulfill the law, keep the commandments." And the man chuckled, "I've already done it. Isn't there anything else I need to do?" And Jesus said, "Go and sell everything that you have and give it to the poor." And the Bible says that the rich man went away sad because he had great wealth. Leaving everything behind was too great for the treasures of heaven. And then Peter said, "Lord, we have left everything and followed you. What then will we have?" And he's, I suppose, saying, what's in it for us that we've spent so many years following you? And Jesus heard in that question the ominous sound of bargains and rewards. And so he told them, it's easier to get through the eye of a needle for a rich man to get into heaven. And then he told his disciples that many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. And now he takes us into the vineyard. This earthly story with a heavenly meaning, this parable, is about grace. For the disciples, it completely upended their Jewish idea that a relationship with God is built on obedience, that you can do something for God and he has to do something for you back. And for us, our time in the vineyard today confronts our own pride. And somehow the relationship that I have with my God is what I've earned and not what I've received. The parable isn't really all that difficult. Grapevines, vineyards, dotted the Jewish countryside. Everyone knew someone who owned a vineyard. And during the harvest season, it's very possible that many of the people of Israel, maybe even some of the disciples when they were younger, had an opportunity to work those busy hours in vineyards. Well, God is the owner of the vineyard, isn't he? And he is the one who goes out searching for people to be a part of his vineyard, to work in the vineyard. There are vines to prune, there's ground to turn, there's fences to fix. So the owner finds people to work for him. And to keep the numbers simple about this denarius, let's just say that he agreed to pay everybody $10 an hour. 12 hours of work means $120 for the day. So the first group went out, but he wasn't satisfied with the number of people, so he went out and he found some more. At 9 in the morning, at noon, at 3 in the afternoon, and finally 1 hour before closing time at 5 at night. There's nothing that distinguishes that 5 o'clock crew from the others except that they just didn't have any interest to work, at least not until the very end. At the end of the day, the owner told the foreman to go out and pay the workers for the day. And those who worked for simply 1 hour received 12 hours. They worked 100. They got $120. And imagine for yourself if you were one of those who worked for 12 hours, you know, calculating in your mind, 12 times 12, over $1,400. And then imagine the shock when they open the envelope and there's only $120, just like the guys who only worked an hour. What's the deal? It doesn't seem fair. And the owner has to confront the men who are complaining, and he says, "Can't I do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" The same way, the first will be last, and the last will be first. There's that statement again for the disciples and for us. You see, it's all about the generous grace of the owner. It's about the grace of God that parts company with the Jewish idea of bargains and rewards and our sinful concept of fairness and being right with God. This parable is exactly about how God deals with sinners. No bargains, no obedience, no rewards. Only generous grace. Only undeserved love. Jesus' blood didn't pour out on you and me thinly or thickly. It didn't pour out on people a little bit more or a little bit less than others. He didn't say while hanging on the cross, "This blood is for many, but not for all." The blood of Jesus lavishly covered every sin. Every sin that you have committed, that I have committed, anyone who's ever been conceived has committed. You see, this grace that we're learning about is God's declaration that took place on the cross. The wages of sin has been paid. They are no longer counted against us because they were counted against our substitute as he hung on the cross. God, the righteous judge, because of that death of his son, was able to slam the gavel down and declare, "You are not guilty of your sin. Somebody else has been declared guilty for you." And we use a fancy word for that. We've been justified. Just if I'd never sinned. And because of that, eternal life in heaven is your free gift. Now, grace is announced unconditionally to the world because of the cross. But it is offered individually through faith that comes to a person when their body feels the saving waters of baptism, or when their ears hear the life-changing words of the gospel, or maybe for those who are blind or deaf, their fingers feel the imprint of that saving good news on the pages of their word. And the other thing that we're taught here is that when grace touches a person's life is also God's doing. The parable teaches it so clearly, doesn't it? The thief on the cross is one of those who was saved, even though he only worked for that 1 hour. There may not be very many cases of them, but God isn't afraid to bring those who should have experienced the fires of hell, but at the last moment, we're given the soothing comfort of the gospel. How many of you here, or who are listening right now, can say, "God's grace came to me later in my life"? because God's word of grace does not return empty, but it accomplishes the purposes for which he sent it, and according to his own timetable. That's because our Savior God is a generous God with his grace. Now, for many of us here, our Savior, the vineyard owner, brought us to faith very early in our life. Many of us probably can say we were brought into the vineyard when we were baptized as an infant. And we have endured the burden of the day and the scorching heat, as the men talked about in the parable. God has graciously allowed us a lifetime to work in the vineyard, to tend to the tender vines by teaching the little ones about their Savior from a very early age. We all have had the opportunity to work hard to turn the soil in our own service, in our congregation, being altar guild or choir or evangelism or stewardship or whatever way that we can serve. We've also had the opportunity to mend the fences through evangelism programs and through calling sinners to repentance. We have dedicated ourselves to the vineyard through worship and Bible study because God has been generous with this grace to us all our lives. But do we wonder sometimes about those who come to faith later in life after they've lived it up and partied down? After being able to sow all of their wild oats up to the last minute before they should have gotten their just reward, and then they were filled with God's grace? Do you remember Jeffrey Dahmer? Ted Bundy? Both of those men, brutal murderers, I've been told, were given an opportunity to hear the gospel, and some claim that they both became believers before they died. How is it that those butchers who brought so much pain into the world, who worked in the vineyard for only maybe 1 hour, should receive the same crown of life and the same mansion of heaven that you and I will receive? Is that fair? Never mind that our labor in the vineyard is never up to the expectations of the owner. We take too many breaks in the vineyard to indulge in our laziness or to indulge in our own sinful natures and pleasures. And rather than tending to the tender vine of our soul, we let the sucker branches root and grow out, those branches of pride and anger, of envy and anger and resentment and discontentment and hatred and prejudice. They get out of control in the vineyard of our heart. Do we understand how toxic is that sinful nature that lives in us? And in how many ways, even though we are lifelong members, Christians in this vineyard, that it expresses itself on a daily basis? How dare we assume that just because we are lifelong Christians, that God owes us something as if he's indebted to us? And in the story, the owner says to those who were complaining, "Take your money and go." The God who is generous with his grace is not tolerant with those who find something wrong with him for showing grace. And he says the first will be last. And alongside of this wonderful message of grace is a sober message of judgment, isn't there? Someone who comes to faith later in life will tell you a different story if you are complaining about fairness. They will tell you that they regret the opportunity that they didn't know Jesus earlier on, so that they could have spent more years serving him in the vineyard. You know, when the young son came home with his tail between his legs because he had completely squandered his father's inheritance, the older brother was mad when the father threw that young scumbag a huge party and welcomed him back into the family. It's not fair. What's the use of serving God all our life if other people can get away with so much? God forgive us when we start thinking that our lifelong service to Him is a burden and not a marvelous gift of His grace. You know, the longer that we're in this vineyard, the more acutely we are aware we have no right to be here in the first place. As Luther once said, we're all beggars. And the hymn writer said it so well. Thou knowest all my grief and tears, thy grace abused my misspent years. Yet unto thee with contrite tears, Christ crucified, I come. And Luther said about this parable, all this is spoken to humble those who think they are great, so that they trust in nothing but the goodness and mercy of God, that we all turn back to grace. So may God's grace overcome the pride and the envy of our sinful heart, so that we never forget how we got into this vineyard in the first place, because God came and looked for us. And that we are still part of this wonderful vineyard because God never stops showing us His grace in so many ways, as He offers it in His gospel, as He gives it to us in bread and wine in the sacrament. And may we never stop rejoicing with the angels when somebody else has been touched by the grace of God, and that no matter what time, they come and work with us in the vineyard. You know, we don't know how long God will let us be in here before He calls it a day for us. So let's make the most of that grace. Make the most with the grace that He has given us to love and to serve and to be the hands and the feet of Jesus and the eyes and the mouth of Jesus and the heart of Jesus. That's why we are here in the vineyard. It's here that we see God's grace given to us. And it's here where we see that God gives us an opportunity to share that grace with others, so that the last may be first. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.